إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله When the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم was 20 years old This would have been 20 years before he receives the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this particular year, there was an incident wherein a man from Zabid in Yemen came to engage in some trade in the Arabian Peninsula. And he engaged in trade with a man by the name of Al-'As ibn Wa'il. Al-'As ibn Wa'il, by the way, was one of the leaders of the Quraysh, and he was also the father of one of the famous companions, one of the famous Sahaba of An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the name of Amr ibn al-'As radiallahu anhu, although the father did not become Muslim. So this man from Zabid, he engages in trade with Al-'As ibn Wa'il. And in so doing, when the business transaction happens, this man, Al-'As ibn Wa'il, takes the goods from this person from Zabid and refuses to pay him. And he does so on the premise or the basis that this person is coming as a traveler from a distant land and there's nothing you can do here, you have no protector here. This man from Zabid, instead of sitting still, he appealed to the Quraysh because of this injustice. In his initial attempt to do so, the people refused any assistance because of the person that transgressed him and his status. This man, he decided that I don't want to sit still, I'm going to continue to complain. So one morning, he climbs up Jabal Abi Qubais, which is a mountain close by to the Kaaba, the mountain of Abu Qubais. He climbs on top of it and he makes an announcement and he recites some lines of poetry expressing his frustration and expressing his anger and disappointment at the fact that he was taken advantage of. Among the first to take up his concern was a man by the name of Az-Zubayr ibn Abd al-Muttalib, one of the uncles of none other than An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he basically says that how could it be that we're going to allow oppression to happen in this land? So he decides to gather a number of people. From among them, Banu Hashim, the tribe of An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. From among them, Banu Taym bin Murra, another tribe from among the Quraysh. And from among them, Banu Zuhra and some others. He gathers all of them, he provides for them some food, and they gather in the house of Abdullah ibn Jud'an at-Taymi. And Az-Zubayr ibn Abd al-Muttalib, he makes an announcement by saying that لا يظلم أحد في مكة إلا رد ظلامته. That nobody is going to oppress anybody else, so there will be no oppression here in Mecca, except that that oppression is going to be repelled. And they formulate a pact which was known as حلف الفضول, wherein they sought to ensure that whoever came to the Arabian Peninsula, they would not be stripped of their rights. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam partook in this pact. He was present as well. And a short while after formulating this, they went to Al-'As ibn Wa'il and demanded that he return his goods that he stole from this man, from Zabid. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, years later, looking back upon this incident known as حلف الفضول or the pact of the virtuous, he comments and he states that لَقَدْ شَهِدْتُ فِي دَارَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ جُدْعَانَ حِلْفًا مَا أُحِبُّ أَنَّ لِي بِهِ حُمْرٌ نَعِمٌ وَلَوْ دُعِيتُ بِهِ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ لَأَجَبْتُ That I witnessed in the house of Abdullah Jud'an a pact which is more beloved to me than a red camel. A red camel, by the way, in that time signified something of high value, something equivalent to perhaps an expensive car today. And he said that if it was called to me in Islam, I certainly would have responded. From this incident of حلف الفضول, there are a number of great lessons that we can derive. The first of which is the fact that sometimes we think that Islam is restricted to our ibadat, our coming to the masjid, our jum'ah, our fasting, our hajj, and our charity, and that is Islam, and that is all of Islam. But in fact, Islam is something which encompasses more beyond this. We have an individual responsibility towards ourselves and towards our Creator. We have a responsibility towards our family and our immediate circle of friends, as well as we all know. And a duty to have good akhlaq and good character towards them. And sometimes a person might add this on to those basic tenets of Islam. But we have a greater responsibility even beyond, and even more so to this. And that is our civic responsibility to the society in which we are living. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us in the hadith that man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi wa man lam yastati' fa bilisanihi wa man lam yastati' fa biqalbihi wa dhalika adha'ful iman. That whoever among you sees an evil should attempt to change it with their hands, meaning do some action to try to change it. If you cannot do so, then try to change it with your tongue by speaking about it. If you cannot do so, and because of social stigma you feel as though if I say something it's going to affect my position in society or my job or anything of that nature, or I might be jailed, then at the very least hate it with your heart, and that is the lowest level of faith. We also learn from the incident of Hilf al-Fudul the fact that An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was involved in politics from a very young age. We see from this that it was at the age of 20 years before he even received revelation. And that is an indication and a recommendation that we should make towards Muslim youth as well, that be a person that is involved from a young age. Don't waste your 20s, don't waste your 30s, but rather follow the example of none other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was involved in acts of goodness from a very young age. The third lesson that a person could derive from this incident is the fact that An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely proud to have partaken in this incident of Hilf al-Fudul. In fact, he mentions that Islam only came to strengthen these types of pacts. He says, إِنَّمَا حِلْفٌ كَانَ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ لَمْ يَزِدْهُ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا شِدَّةِ. That these pacts that were predating Islam, that Islam did nothing to them except increased them in their strength, increased them in their resolve to ensure justice was propagated throughout society. Another lesson that we can derive from this incident of Hilf al-Fudul is the fact that we learn from the prophetic message that sometimes we may have the perception or the inclination to think that we are only responsible for justice in Muslim societies, and we are not responsible for justice while we are living in a place like Canada, which is secular and non-Muslim as a nation. But we see this is the furthest thing from the truth, because of the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this incident of Hilf al-Fudul, sought to establish justice among whom? Among people that were not even Muslim, before the advent of Islam, and he looks back upon this and is reminiscing about the fact that he was happy to do this. And one of these scholars, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, actually says something extremely interesting. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُقِيمُ الدَّوْلَ عَادِلًا وَإِنْ كَانَتْ كَافِرَةً وَلَا يُقِيمُ الدَّوْلَ ظَالِمًا وَإِنْ كَانَتْ مُسْلِمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish a nation, meaning allow them to prosper and exist, if they are just, even though they be non-Muslim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not establish a nation to exist and prosper, and perhaps may even destroy them, if they are unjust, even though they be Muslim. And this shows us the importance of justice on this earth, that wherever it is established, people understand it, people recognize it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing will be upon those nations and locations in which justice is established, even if that justice is done by non-Muslims. We also learn from this incident of Hilf al-Fudul, the fact that it gives us an indication and proof of the fact that we can engage, and not only engage but also assist those that are involved in acts of justice from other religions. Meaning that if there's a principle in Islam which is a just principle, we believe our morality is taken exclusively from the Quran and Sunnah. We don't make up our own reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَن يُتْرَكَ سُدًى. Do you think we're going to leave him without a moral compass, not command him and not prohibit him? He's going to create us on earth and just leave us as such without an objective morality from our Creator. So as long as there's something objective that other individuals, even though they might be from other faiths, like examples of justice, examples of ensuring safety and security in society and things of that nature that Islam also propagates, then as Muslims it is not only okay, but it is encouraged and recommended, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلِى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, that work together on matters of righteousness and of God consciousness. And this incident of Hilf al-Fudul is a proof of this. Many of us are aware of the fact that we had a recent election. And some of us might think that our civic responsibility is exclusively restricted to a simple vote. And perhaps a vote might be useful. For example, in the cases of a Khafd al-Dawrain, voting for the lesser of two evils, because if an individual has a party which does not enshrine the tenets of Islam, they will never truly be just. They will never, ever truly be just unless you have the justice of Islam. This is a reality of this dunya. But nonetheless, sometimes you might wish to vote on the basis of the lesser of the two evils. But our involvement in society needs to extend beyond just a simple vote. We need to be active members of society and advocate for principles and lobby politicians and the like into principles which will be useful in terms of the benefit of all of society from the tenets of Islam. And in today's khutbah, we'll talk about some of these things, some of these relevant issues in our society as Canadians that we need to be involved in, again, using the principles of Islam as our backbone of morality. The first of these that we'll talk about in today's khutbah is the fact that as Muslims, we need to be from those that advocates for a removal of money from politics. One of those things which destroys society is when money is involved in politics. It might be lobbying, it might be bribery, or they might call it lobbying on the basis of giving it a different name, which is essentially the same thing, and legalizing it and giving it the name of lobbying. It might be other acts of corruption. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran. And that is what we need to understand. Islam is not only about our worship. It talks about politics. It talks about many other things extending beyond just our immediate worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلُى الْحُكَّامِ لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. That do not consume the wealth of each others unlawfully, and thereafter bribe politicians and those in positions of power, the hukkam, so that they might assist you in transgressing the rights of others and consuming a portion of their wealth while you know. We also know that in the incident of Aam al-Ramada, the year of ashes, wherein Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa, and his son took from the, took from the Bayt al-Mal, or the wealth of the Muslims, while they were going through a drought. And he says, Bakhin, Bakhin, Ya Ibn Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is saying that he's astonished at the fact that the son of the leader, meaning himself, is being fed. And at the same time, the Muslims are not taking from this wealth. He was very concerned about ensuring he does not benefit and his immediate family does not benefit to the exclusion of the rest of society. Eventually, his son actually goes and he starts crying. And Umar al-Khattab realizes that he actually purchased this and he did not just take it from the stores of the Muslim. So he lets him off easy in this regard. The second principle, which is a principle in Islam which we need to try to establish, is establish peace wherever you are. Establish peace wherever you are. We all understand and know that in the current election cycle, one of the key issues was safety and the fact that crime and violent crime is on the increase in Canada, especially when it comes to public transit. And there were certain policies that which are perhaps going to be implemented to make it such that society is more safeguarded against these crimes. When an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first came to the city of Madinah al-Munawwara, there was a man by the name of Hussein that was from the Jewish people. And he used to read the scriptures of the Jewish people as well. And he used to also understand that there is a prophet to come. And he knew the description of this prophet as well. So when the Prophet ﷺ arrived to the city of Madinah al-Munawwara, he said that he was among the first to go there. When the people started to say, قَدْ قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَدْ قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, the Prophet of Allah has arrived, the Prophet of Allah has arrived, he was among the first to go see who is this particular individual. The first thing that he mentions is he says, عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابٍ. I noticed by looking at him that this is not the face of a liar. And thereafter he mentions the first words uttered by the Prophet ﷺ about who Muslims are. A minority group that came from Mecca to Al-Mukarramah, immigrated to Medina, what are we all about? The Prophet ﷺ addresses all people. He does not address exclusively Muslims. He says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ, spread peace. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ, and give food to those that are deserving and those that are hungry. وَصِلُ الْأَرْحَامِ, maintain family ties. وَقُومُوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ. Pray at night when others are sleeping. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامِ. And you will enter Jannah with peace. From these particular words of the Prophet ﷺ, we see that his first instruction, أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ, is part of our civic responsibility. The topic of today's khutbah. From the second words of the Prophet ﷺ, وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ, also part of our civic responsibility. Give food to those that are deserving. The third part, وَصِلُ الْأَرْحَامِ, part of our social responsibility, that ensuring we maintain family ties. Only the last one, قُومُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ, pertains to ibadah, and that is something that we need to become aware of. This hadith is known as the hadith of salam. It starts off with salam, spread salam. It ends with salam, تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامِ, you'll enter Jannah, and the angels will tell you, Salamun alaykum bima sabartum, peace be upon you. It is also narrated by Hussein, who later changed his name as per the recommendation of the Prophet ﷺ to Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu an. This is known as the hadith of salam. On this principle as well, we need to understand that Islam always had a harsh stance against people that committed crimes against society. And sometimes people might look at Islam as a barbaric religion. But one thing we need to understand is, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says, regarding qisas, regarding retaliatory punishment, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَ, that if a person kills somebody, then the retribution is he himself is killed. And a person might say that this is barbaric. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاءٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that in retaliatory punishment is in and of itself life. A life for a life is life. Because if a person is afraid of the repercussions, they will not kill. And contrast this to our nation, in which the government passed Bill C-75, which made it easy for people to escape the justice system. It's basically a revolving door. You go in and a few years you're out again, violent offenders included. On top of this, it is basically a catch and release system in which a person is captured and thereafter released after a short while. There was an incident in Vancouver in which a person committed murder, and after 8 years or less was let out again. This is something that we need to understand and establish as per our religion. This is part of it. Another incident or another area in which we as Muslims need to advocate for, from the principles of justice and from the principles of Islam in our society, is ensuring that parents have the right to the education of their own children. Ensuring that parents have the right to the education of their own children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Ya ayyuha ladina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourselves and your children from the fire. Naran waquduha an-nas wal hijara. A fire whose fuel is that of men and stones. Alayha malaikatun ghiladun shidadun la ya'asuna Allah. Upon them are severe, intense angels that do not disobey the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do whatever they are ordered to do. So we need to save ourselves and our children. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also tells us, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَاعِيَتِي. Every single one of you is a shepherd and all of you are responsible for your flock. A secondary point as well is that even according to the United Nations Universal Charter of Human Rights, in Article 26, it states that parents have the prior right to the education of their own children. Now when it comes to our province, they passed Bill 24. The GSA, the Gay Straight Alliance. And for those that are unaware of what this means, essentially what it is saying is that if a person in a public education system, or any school for that matter, decides to come out as homosexual, or they decide to identify with a different pronoun, then it is illegal for the teachers to tell the parents. It is illegal for the teachers to tell the parents. And the precedence that this sets is that parents don't know what is in the best interest of their own children. And as Muslims, we need to be from those that advocates against this type of ideology. Further to this, when it comes to education historically, it was about mathematics, it was about reading, it was about writing, and it was about science. But the current education system has a poisonous and toxic ideology injected into it as well. And we'll discuss more, because of the month that we find ourselves in, perhaps in the next khutbah, as to what we can do to combat these ideas. But it's something that we need to be aware of to protect the aqidah and the belief system of our Muslim children. So this is something that we need to advocate against, And something that we need to understand, that as Muslims, we need to promote this notion or idea that parents have the right to the education of their own children, and understand that we as parents have the best interest of our, and especially as Muslims, have the best interest of our own children at hand, and we have that right from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the United Nations Charter, as we have already mentioned. Another point is when it comes to healthcare. One thing that we don't know or sometimes don't realize is that Harun al-Rashid, one of the early leaders of the Muslims, was among the first to establish free hospitals for the society. And that is because we understand as Muslims, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدِ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in your assistance so long as you're in the assistance of others and alleviating their difficulties as well. Taking care of each other was always one of the teachings propagated by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other points connected to healthcare, other healthcare issues that we need to be advocates for. It goes beyond a vote, a simple vote, but we need to be advocates for. One of them is the removal entirely, or at the very least, the reduction of drugs and alcohol in society. One of those issues which was pertinent to this election cycle was the fact that certain individuals and certain parties were advocating for the decriminalization of the possession of small quantities of illegal drugs. First of all, when it comes to Islam, Islam was always harsh on this principle or on this idea, in which, especially when it comes to the public consumption, there were ta'zir punishments for this type of idea. On top of this, the governments are trying to make it such, and this is also already legal in certain parts of the country. Certain sites, consumption sites, when a person, wherein a person can have a safe supply, part of the harm reduction policy, have a safe supply, and there's no safe supply, of drugs that is monitored and insert them into their system. And this is something against the principles of Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us regarding khamr. He says any intoxicant, he says about it, rijzun min amal ash-shaytan, is an abomination from shaytan, fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. Avoid it if you want to be successful. One of the biggest disasters for Muslim youth in our city and in our country was the legalization of marijuana. Many of us know Muslims that smoke. Because of the fact that it is legal, this does not make it halal. And you see the result of something like this, of making or having an easy or light stance on the issue of drugs and alcohol. So this is something that we need to understand. And a person might say that you don't want to stigmatize people. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran regarding a person that is given the hudud punishment? He says, nakalam min Allah. They are made an example. They are made an example for other people. We are actively stigmatizing them when these types of punishments are put upon them so that they might not do them, so they understand what is in their best interest in this life and in the next life as well. We need to be from those that advocate for a reduction in drugs and alcohol in society by closing down consumption sites. There is no safe supply. We also need to be from those that criminalizes and tries to make it such that having alcohol and drugs in society is something which is removed from the society in which we are living. This is something which will bring about goodness where we are living. The final point we'll mention in today's khutbah, another point pertinent or relevant and connected to healthcare, is on the issue of a disastrous policy brought in by the government in June 2016. This policy is known as MAID, or Medical Assistance in Dying. Essentially what it is stating is that if a person has a terminal illness, they cannot bear the patient, it's too painful for them, or they don't want to be a burden on society, they might have stage 4 cancer, they might have a terminal illness, then they can apply for suicide with the government of Canada. They can apply for suicide with the government of Canada. And think about this one policy and what it means for us as Muslims. On top of this idea or this policy which is currently in place, next year they're adding an additional clause which seeks to make it such that medical illness will be included in this. The government is essentially stating that suicide is now a cure. Again, suicide is now a cure for mental illness. Suicide is now a cure for mental illness. Look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith is found in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari. Not only that, it is a hadith which is Sahih and Hadith Qudsi, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is speaking in this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us, كَانَ فِي مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ رَجُلٌ بِهِ جَرْحٌ, that in the nations before was a man that had an injury, and he could not bear the patience of the pain of this injury. So he took a knife and he slit his wrist, He cut his hand and he bled out and he died. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself talks after this. And he says, بَادِرْنِي عَبْدِي بِنَفْسِهِ حَرَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ My slave hastened his own death. I have made Jannah haram for him. So these are policies against Islam. They cause the destruction of society. And as Muslims, we need to be from those that has a civic responsibility, not exclusive to us as a Muslim community, but where we are living. And think about beyond just yourself. What can you do? If you are young especially, this is true. That if you are young and you have that energy, be like the Prophet ﷺ, that in his 20s, in his 30s, he was an active member of society, trying to bring about positive change. Our morality is taken from the Quran and Sunnah. And if you look at all of these policies in the Quran and Sunnah, we understand that Islam is the best system. Previously, our government considered parts of Islam barbaric cultural practices. But if you look at the reality, go to Vancouver East Side and the zombie apocalypse that you see there. Because of the safe supply, we need to ask ourselves that who are the ones that are engaged in barbaric policies of killing the elderly, of killing those that could be helped, of destroying society with drugs and alcohol, and the legalization of illicit substances which only bring about detriment and harm to Muslim and non-Muslim alike. These are principles that we need to advocate for. Our morality does not come from any party. It comes from Islam. There could be certain principles in one party which are in line with Islam, and other principles in another party which are in line with Islam. So we need to understand this as well. This is not an advocation of any particular political group, but rather it is an advocation of the principles of Islam, and we need to be from those that advocates beyond just a simple vote. Get involved, be part of advocacy groups in all of these initiatives that we have mentioned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring about goodness for our Muslim youth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring about goodness for our Muslim society and for Canadian society as a whole as well. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لكم ولسان المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه غفور رحيم. Alhamdulillah الذي أرسل نبيه برسالات وأيده بالمعجزات رب الأرض رب السماوات أحمده أبلغ حمد وأكمله وزكاه وأشمله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الواحد الغفار وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى المختار صلى الله وسلم عليه وزاده فضله وشرف لدين يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوصيكم أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم الأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون واذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على ما زدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنع باقي الصلاة